Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
How many of you have ever had this happen where there's a situation and you know what you're supposed to do? You know what's expected of you. You know what you're supposed to do in that situation. But if you're honest, you have absolutely no idea how to do it. Like, you know what's expected, you know what you're supposed to do, but you have no clue how. It happened to me when I was, well, it happens to me almost every day. But the story I'm going to tell you is I was 25 years old. I was living in Fort Worth, Texas. And my first son, David, had just been born. And it was super great. You know, we had we were blessed, super easy pregnancy. The delivery was super easy. It was a breeze. It was real quick. My wife told me I wasn't allowed to say that, but I am saying it because it was easy for me. It was real easy. Like, it's one of the easiest things I've ever done. And so I was like, let's do this again. No, actually, the first words out of my wife's mouth right after it was done was, I could do that again. And now every woman in the church hates you. So, but you know, we were still in the hospital. Where we lived in Texas, they had two rooms. They had, like, the delivery room, then they moved you to the other room. And we had moved to the other room, and we were all kind of oohing and aahing over the baby. And then the nurse comes in. And she kind of just kind of comments, hey, it's time to change the first diaper. Who's going to change the diaper? And at that moment, I knew what I was supposed to do. But I did not know how to do it. As I said, I was 25 years old. I had never changed a diaper. I'd never even thought about changing a diaper. And my wife was incapacitated at the time. And the rest of the people that were there were very much assuring me that they were not going to do what I was supposed to do. So I was like, okay, I'm going to step up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change the diaper. So I asked the nurse, who was very nice, will you please show me how to change this diaper? And my friends and family, whoever was in there, rather than help me, decided they were going to document the event. And so we actually have pictures. This is me changing my son David's very first diaper. You can notice the nurse laughing her head off because I have no idea what I'm doing, right? And so then there's the next picture where it looks like I've got it all under control, right? This is the picture that I show other people. It's like, I'm doing it. I'm knocking it out of the park. I'm doing it all myself. Go to the next picture. Yeah, she was right there the whole time. She never left. She helped me completely because I had absolutely no idea how to do what I knew I was supposed to. I was the dad. This is my kid. Of course I'm supposed to do this. No idea how to do it. So someone had to teach me. Someone had to show me. I'll tell you that story because I think when it comes to the things of God, many of us know what we are supposed to do. We just have no idea how to do it. If you have any religious background at all, if you have any Christianity background, if you grew up in church, you knew that we're not supposed to be afraid. We're supposed to trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus, brother. Just trust Jesus. And you're like, how do I do that? Maybe this week you've been wrestling with fear. You've been wrestling with the afraid. And you've been in the series for 2 weeks. And you're like, man, I'm supposed to be fearless. I'm supposed to be brave. But I just don't know how. And so this week and next week, that's what we're going to do. We are going to look at what I believe is God's plan for us to live a fearless life. For us to learn how to be brave, because we want to be fearless. We want to live fearlessly because, as we learned week one, fear is dangerous. That's where we kind of started. Fear is incredibly dangerous because what fear does is fear tries to attack our faith. Fear tries to take us away. If you were here week one, we looked at the story of Jesus and his disciples. They were out in a boat and a storm came up and they were terrified. Jesus was asleep and they thought Jesus was asleep because he didn't care about them, when in reality, Jesus was asleep because he wasn't nervous, because he knew he had it under control. But fear began to attack them. And see, here's what happens when we get afraid. Here's what fear does. Fear corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. Fear makes us begin to doubt God. Doubt how good he is. Doubt how well he's going to take care of us. Because fear also causes spiritual amnesia. We just completely forget who God is. We forget all the good things that have happened. We forget all the great things he's done for us. We forget that he loves us, that he sacrificed his son for us. We forget all those things because we get afraid. The fear begins to take over and we become paralyzed. The third thing we learned in week one is that fear always maximizes our view of the danger and minimizes our view of God. Because when we are afraid, that's the only thing we can focus on. Let me look at it. And when I have this, my hand this close to my face, I can't see anything else. My hand's really not that big. But when it's this close, it's all I'm focusing on. I can't see anything else. And that's what fear does to us. It takes the thing we're afraid of and it puts us right here. And it maximizes our view of the danger. And that minimizes our view of God. It minimizes our view of our Heavenly Father. So what we want to do starting this week and next week is figure out, okay, how do we combat this? How do we defeat it? How do we answer the question we've been asking this entire series, which is, will I walk in fear or will I walk in faith? Because you can't really do both, as we're going to talk about today, because one's always going to push the other out. They're always going to be competing. So the question I want to answer today is very simple, very practical. We've all experienced it. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, you're here because somebody invited you, you're kind of checking us out. Here's the cool thing about today. You can apply what we're going to learn today and it'll still work in your life. It'll still work. Whether you come here fully believing or not, if you apply what we're talking about today, it will work in your life because God's truth is God's truth and it works. So the question I want to ask today is, what should I do when I feel afraid? We know we're supposed to be brave. We know we're supposed to not have a spirit of fear. We're supposed to have a spirit of power. How do we do it? And to answer this question, we're going to turn to a guy we turn to often here at Wellspring, a guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of what we call our New Testament. The New Testament is the second kind of collection of books we have in our Bible. The New Testament tells the story of Jesus. We have four biographies of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell the story of his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And then in the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in our Bible, we see the beginning of the early church. And we see it spread out. And then the rest of our Bible is a series of letters that have been written by men called by God to lead his early church. And Paul was one of those guys. Paul was an early church pastor. He was a church leader. Paul began many churches. And then Paul would write those churches letters. And what we believe is that God was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters, which means almost 2,000 years later, we can read these letters and we know exactly what it is that God wants us to do in our life. And in one of his letters to the church at Philippi, Paul addresses this issue of fear. He not only says, hey, be fearless, he actually tells us how to do it. So if you have your Bibles, you can open it to Philippians 4. That's where we're going to be. If not, we're going to have it up on the screen. And in Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, Paul opens up this way. He says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. How many of you know worry and fear are kind of two sides of the same coin? Some of you think you're afraid, you're really just worried. Some of you are worried, you're really afraid. They're the same thing. It's anxiety about the future. It's things that I can't control, but I want to think about it and scheme and plan and get myself all worked up about it. And what Paul's saying is he's saying, hey, don't do that. And you're sitting here looking at me today and saying, I know I'm not supposed to do that. I just don't know how not to do it. I've been told all my life, don't worry. I don't know how to do it. Well, Paul's not done yet. Paul says, hey, don't worry about anything. He says, instead, pray about everything. And I know some of you are looking at me and you're thinking, really? Pray about it. That's the plan. Really? For all my fears, for everything that's happening, for all these things that are coming up, your answer is pray about it. Yeah, it is. See, here's the thing. Remember how I said about fear, how it's dangerous? See, the problem with fear is it always maximizes our view of the danger and minimizes our view of God. So if you don't think God is big enough to handle your problem, that is because your problem is too big and your God is too small. This is the same God that created the universe. This is the same God that raised his son from the dead. I think he can handle your idiot neighbor. Don't laugh too hard. They might be sitting on the same row as you. Don't be saying, amen. No. Keep that to yourself because nobody knows who the idiot neighbor is. But no, think about it. See, this is why fear is so dangerous. If the idea of praying about your problem seems silly to you, it's because your problem has become too big and your God is too small. If you do not see your God as big enough to handle your problem, you have the wrong picture of God. Because I assure you, your God and my God is big enough to solve any and all problems. And so what Paul is simply trying to say is saying, hey, look, you're focusing here. And yet, when I focus here, there is nothing bigger in the universe than my hand. But I'm wrong. And if I simply turn my head, I become aware of so much more. What Paul's trying to say is, he's saying, look, don't worry about anything, because that's here. He's saying, pray about everything. He's saying, readjust your perspective. He's saying, readjust where you are looking. Pray about everything and make God the focus, because when we do that, by maximizing our view of God, we minimize our view of our problem. See, fear always tells us we have to solve our problem. And what Paul knows is that prayer reminds us God has solved your problem. Let me say that again. Fear tells us we have to solve our problem. Prayer reminds us God has solved our problem. And so what Paul's saying is, he's saying, look, when you have these things, when these things come up, when you're nervous about things, when things are afraid, when you're scared, you have to make a choice. The choice is, will I walk in fear or will I walk in faith? It is a choice. It is up to you, but you cannot walk in both. Essentially, you're going to walk in whichever one you feed more. And so what Paul's suggesting is, he's saying, hey, look, do this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Every struggle, every fear, every doubt, every situation that causes you anxiety. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Instead, pray. And now Paul even tells us what to pray. He says, tell God what you need. He's saying, hey, don't worry about it. Talk to God about it. If you're nervous about something that's coming up, go to God and say, yo, God, I am nervous about what's about to happen. If you're afraid of a confrontation you have to have at work or a confrontation you have to have with your neighbor, you go to God and say, God, I am afraid of this confrontation. This person is loco, and I don't know what's going to happen. I am afraid. If you have a teenager and they got their driver's license, you get down on your knees and you go to God. You say, dear God, I'm afraid. Help me. And also, please use social media to alert the rest of us when they're on the road, so that we can get off the road. And I say that coming from a terrible driving record as a teenager. So, parents, if you get in 3 wrecks within the first year, your kid might become a preacher. So, students, you can use that, by the way. There you go. I was a terrible driver. But I got better. Anyway, what you got to do is you got to tell God what you need. Let me ask you a question. For those of you in the room who are Christians, for those of you in the room who believe in God, when's the last time you were afraid and you stopped and you prayed about it? When's the last time you actually said, God, I am nervous about this. I'm afraid of this. This is scaring me. Probably not very often. I said last hour, and it's kind of true. Technically, I get paid to pray, and I don't even do that much because I forget. But every time I do, it works. Now, why do I forget? Because fear wants me to forget. Because fear is the enemy. Because fear is trying to separate me from God. Fear is trying to push me out of my relationship with God. Because here's the deal. When fear rises, faith falls. Every time. When we allow fear to build up in us and to rise up in us, our faith falls. And that's why we forget to pray. That's why when I told you, tell God what you need and pray about it, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, you went, please. You don't understand, man. I got a legitimate problem. Well, that's probably true, but I serve a legitimate God. And last I checked, He can solve any problem. And He wants to solve your problem. And so if you don't feel that way, if you don't feel it, it's because fear has risen up so much in you that your faith has fallen. And what Paul's trying to give us is he's trying to give us a plan to get the faith back. He's trying to give us a plan to rebuild our faith, to rebuild the faith so that we can push the fear out. Because fear always chases faith out. But if we feed faith, it's going to chase fear out. And so what Paul's saying, he's saying, look, you got to tell God what you need. You got to talk to him. You got to name it. You got to go to him. You can't be afraid that he's going to get frustrated with you. God doesn't get frustrated with you. He's dying to hear you. And guess what? God already knows. He just wants to hear you say it. It's like when you know your kid did something. You know they did it. You just want to hear him say it. Just say it, please. Just please. This is taking an hour and a half. Just say it. Just say it. That's what God's asking you to do. He's saying, why? Why on earth would you try to handle this on your own? Why would you allow fear to convince you that you can do this by yourself? Pray about everything. Talk to me. Tell me what you need. And then, Paul's not quite done. Look what he says. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You see that? Tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done. So let's say you're really stressed out about a presentation you have at work. Because you know the boss is going to be there and he's never really liked you anyway. And so you're afraid, man, if I blow this presentation, I might get fired. And if I get fired, I might lose my house. But you know, your brain just takes off. Well, let's say you're really stressed out because, like I said, you're going to have a confrontation at work. You know, maybe it's your turn to do the snacks for soccer and you want to bring healthy snacks and everybody else has brought Cheetos and you don't want to be that mom, so you don't know what to do. And you're really afraid about it. Maybe you're a student and you have a test coming up, you have a paper, and you're really stressed out about it, and you're really afraid, right? And you're like, you can't eat, and you're nervous, and you're afraid. Or maybe, you know, maybe you got a test next week with a doctor. Maybe there's something coming up, and you're like, man, I don't know what's going to happen. And you're afraid. What Paul says is, he says, hey, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Pray. Tell God what you need. So what that means is, you need to pray, and you need to tell God, hey, God, I am nervous about this presentation. Because Jenny's going to be there, and you know Jenny. Got to be honest, God. I know everything's perfect, but I don't understand Jenny. Jenny's just a name I picked out of thin air, so don't worry. I'm just not related to a Jenny, so it's okay. God, you know what's going to happen. God, I really need to have a conversation with that mom on the soccer team, or I need to have a conversation with the neighbor down the street, but I'm afraid of it because they're crazy and I don't know what to do. So please help me. Or God, I got this test coming up, man. I'm so afraid of it. I'm so nervous because if I don't get straight A's, like the world's going to end. No, it's not. The world's going to end. I made a big run last hour. My wife very much told me I couldn't make the run again. So I won't do that. Just know, students, it will be okay. God, I don't know what to do in these situations. Tell him what you need. And then thank him for what he's done. Which means, and God, thank you that 2 months ago when I had the presentation and I was as nervous as I am now, thank you for helping me and for working through that and for it really turning out really great. And God, thank you for the last time I had this kind of conversation. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. Man, you really filled in the gaps and it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. And man, it turned out so well. And God, the last time I had a test, like I was really nervous, and you know, you gave me a recall, and I did really well on that test. So thank you for solving this situation in the past, and you love me, and you want the best for me, and you're all powerful. So maybe, just maybe, you have the power to help me. Now, you see how this works? You talk to God. You tell him what you need. And then you thank him for what he's already done. You thank him for the way that he's already moved in the past. And guess what happens? Here's what Paul says. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I grew up in church. In my church, we called it the peace that passes understanding. I love it. It's a peace that doesn't make any sense. It's a peace that's there regardless of the circumstances. It's a peace going to the doctor that you know is not going to go away regardless of what the doctor says. It's a peace that comes regardless of what the outcome is going to be, because it's a peace that knows that my God is in charge. It's a peace that comes from a relationship with Jesus. And if you have experienced it, you understand what I'm talking about. If you have never experienced it, you cannot understand it, because as Paul says, it exceeds anything we can understand. Which is one of the reasons Wellspring is an experienced church. We want you to come and experience Jesus. We sing songs so that you can experience Jesus. We talk about the Holy Spirit and His presence because we want you to experience the things of God. Because God's been trying to tell us as hard as He can, there are some things we're not going to understand until we experience it for ourselves. If you're here today and you're exploring the things of God, it's never going to make complete sense, but it can make complete sense in your heart, and you're going to understand it, you're going to feel it, and your brain's going to go, why do I believe this? And your heart's going to say, because it feels so good. That is the peace that passes understanding. And what Paul's trying to say is, he's saying, look, it's so simple. It's so easy. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. That is God's plan for fear. I know some of you are thinking, wait, now Trey, hold on. You're telling me that when I'm afraid, when I'm scared, when I'm nervous, when I'm anxious, when I can't figure out what to do next, and I can't hardly breathe because the anxiety is sitting on my chest, I am supposed to pray, tell God that I'm nervous, thank Him for all the gifts He's given me, and then I'm just going to magically feel better. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. It is. It is. Well, Trey, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I know, because it's the peace that passes understanding. It exceeds anything we can understand. But it's what Jesus offers. It's why there have been times in your life when you have been around people and you have been saying, why aren't you more scared right now? Why aren't you nervous? Do you not understand what is happening? You're like, oh, I understand. But I got Jesus. And you thought they were crazy. I'm like, well, you need to get something else. It's because they've embraced Paul's plan. And my prayer for each of you today is that you can begin to embrace Paul's plan. That you can begin to embrace this idea that you do not have to walk in fear. That you can walk in faith. And you walk in faith by choosing faith. You walk in faith by simply turning to God and telling Him what you need and thanking Him for what He has done. And when you do that, the peace of God will come onto you and will fill you up. And it will exceed anything we can understand. And I know for some of you that sounds crazy. And you don't understand it. But here's the cool thing. As I was getting ready for this message, as I was reading and studying, I stumbled, literally stumbled across an article that detailed the work of a neuroscientist at UCLA. His name's Dr. Korb. And what he's discovered is that God has wired our brains for Paul's plan to work. Now, he didn't draw the parallel between God and Paul and me. He just said some things that were going to work. But I was reading, I was like, whoa, God, you made this work. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. So one of the studies he did, he works with people's brains and he works with emotions. And one of the studies he did, UCLA, is he studied people's reactions, their emotional reactions to images that they've seen. What they found was, if you showed someone a picture of someone experiencing an emotion, what happens is it triggers the amygdala, which is the emotional center of your brain, to begin experiencing the same emotion. So if they showed somebody a picture of somebody being really angry, the person started to get angry. They showed a picture of somebody being really sad, the person started to get really sad, right? And so they could monitor this, they could monitor the amygdala, and they could see that it was producing this emotional response in the test subjects. And then something crazy happened. They then asked the test subject to name the emotion. They said, describe for me what you are feeling. And when they named the emotion lessened. It fell. Here's the way Dr. Korb put it. Here's what he said. He said, when they were asked to name the emotion, the ventrolateral prefrontal cortex activated and reduced the emotional amygdala reactivity. Exactly. Don't you get it? I didn't either. Good. Here's what he says. In other words, please don't miss this. In other words, consciously recognizing the emotions reduced their impact. Do you get that? What Dr. Korb discovered was when we experience an emotion like fear, when we name it, when we say, I am afraid, the fear lessens. So remember what Paul said. Paul says, tell God what you need. That means you got to say it out loud. That means you got to talk. So maybe you need to go somewhere where you're quiet so people don't think you're crazy. You need to get in your car and you need to say out loud, God, I am scared. I am afraid. You need to say it out loud because God has wired our brains to when we say it out loud, when we label it, it loses its power. It loses its emotion. And spiritually speaking, why does that work? Because we bring it to our Heavenly Father. Because we bring it to the light of Jesus. Because we say, I have no power over this. Jesus, can you help me? And he's like, I sure can. I done wired you for it to work. I'm going to do some amygdala work right now. But that's not it. That's not it. If that was just it, that'd be pretty cool. But Paul says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Well, Dr. Korb not only discovered that there was power in labeling the emotion. Our brains like that. He also discovered our brains love gratitude. They love it when we seek to be thankful. Here's what he said. Here's what he says about gratitude. One powerful effect of gratitude is that it can boost serotonin. Now, let me tell you about serotonin. How many of you have ever heard of Prozac? Don't raise your hand. How many of you wish you had some Prozac? Don't raise your hand. Here's what Prozac does. Prozac boosts serotonin. What Dr. Korb discovered was gratitude also boosts serotonin. So gratitude is spiritual Prozac. You want to feel good? Think good. Think about good things. Think about the things that are happening that are good in your life. That's what Dr. Korb discovered. He said, trying to think of things you are grateful for. You know, things that you would tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. He's saying, thanking God for what he's done, trying to think of things you're grateful for, forces you to focus on the positive aspects of your life. This is where we're going to pick up next week, by the way, because we like to focus on the negative things of our life. And if you focus on negative things are going to happen. Maybe you should focus on positive things, the positive things are going to happen. Maybe you get a boost of serotonin, might feel some good things happening. So he says, it boosts when you focus on the positive aspects of your life, this simple act of gratitude, the simple act that Paul prescribed almost 2,000 years ago, increases serotonin production in the anterior cingulate cortex. Bam. Now think about this. Think about what science has discovered. Science has discovered that God has wired us so that when we follow his prescription for overcoming fear, when we decide to pray about everything and name it, when we decide to spend time being thankful for what he has done, he has wired our brains for the emotion of fear to lessen and for us to begin to feel better, regardless of our circumstances. That sounds an awful lot to me like peace. Peace in any situation. Peace in any circumstance. I'm telling you guys, it's almost like God's real. It's almost like he's real. That science is discovering that he has actually wired us for Paul's plan to work. So there it is. There's your plan. And my challenge to you this week is as you go about and as things rise and as things come up, you got to choose, okay, in this moment, how am I going to respond? How am I going to handle this? Am I going to do what I normally do, which is run to fear? Or am I going to listen to Paul? Am I going to be anxious for nothing and pray about everything? Tell God what I need and thank him for what he has done. Because when we do that, Paul's already said, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Here's the cool thing. That peace comes with a promise. Here's what he says. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What that means is that as we make this a lifestyle, and as we make it our choice, as we make it our habit to be anxious for nothing but pray about everything, as we condition ourselves to tell God what we need and to thank him for what he has done, as we condition ourselves to live a life of gratitude, we will begin to experience God's peace at such a level that it will literally begin to protect us from what might come. That God can fill us so much with so much peace and so much strength that a situation that a month ago would have sent you into a panic, this time sends you into a prayer. And you say, you know what, God? I would have been scared of this a while back, but your peace has protected me. And you know what I need. And this is serious. You know what's up. But thank you. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you that you've always been there for me. And I thank you that regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the results, you have my back and you are going to give me peace. This is what is freely available to every single one of us if we simply follow Paul's plan. So my question to you is the same question we started with. As you leave here today, will I walk in fear? Or will I walk in faith? Because you can't do both. And what you're actually going to find is the one you focus on is the one that's going to have the most power. If you choose to focus on fear, you will live in fear. But if you take Paul's advice and you choose to focus on faith, I believe you'll have a different result. And that's where we're going to pick up next week. We're going to talk about focus. But this week, as we close, I just simply want to challenge you to begin implementing Paul's plan in your life. Do not worry about anything. Pray about everything. Yes, even that. Even the thing you think God's uninterested in. Pray about it. Give it to God. Tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And then experience God's peace. Now, as we close today, as I said, Wellspring is an experienced church. And we know as much as we say these things, some of you, we need to experience. So we're going to close with a song. And I want you to sing these words. Even if you don't believe it yet, fake it till you make it. Just sing them. Say it out loud. And allow yourself to be open and allow the Holy Spirit to give you peace that you do not understand. And when it does come, don't deny it. Don't push it away. Don't try to explain it. Accept it. Rest in it. Because the God of the universe is doing everything in his power to make his relationship with you stronger. I hope you see that's what the whole point is. The answer to fear is to have a closer relationship with your Father. It's amazing how that works. He loves you. He's wild about you. And what's going to make you fearless is a closer relationship with your Father. So let me pray for you. And then we're going to sing this song. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit fills you with his peace. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come into this place. We thank you that we can hear from you. We thank you that you are so clear, that you speak directly to us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is freely available to us. Lord, I beg you right now to pour out your peace that passes understanding. We don't have to understand it right now. We just want to experience it. Father, there are things going on. There are tests coming up next week. There are financial concerns. Father, we don't know what to do. And we're afraid. We don't know where to go. We don't know the next step. But we're promised peace. And so we cling to it. We beg for it. We're going to say it out loud. We're going to tell you what we need. We're going to thank you for what you've done. And we're were going to wait on your peace to fill and protect our hearts. We no longer have to be a slave to fear, Father. We can be set free by you.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.